What's going on, everyone? Welcome back after a month of no podcast. Today I have my buddy Sparty Squad joining me to recap this disgusting basketball week, to say the least. What's going on, Nick?
Not much, man. Just trying to gather my thoughts about what the hell I just watched.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get right into it. Michigan State falls again, 79-62, I think was the final. It's a very good Ohio State team. They didn't lose to, you know, a crappy team. But, I mean, I guess you can go first, and I'll give you my thoughts after. So what's your thoughts on just not even the game, but just the whole season now as a whole? And
well, like, at the beginning, man, everybody was like, oh, this team could be, like, Izzo's deepest team. This team could be Izzo's best defensive team. This team could be Izzo's, like, best shooting team, because we saw how well we were shooting at the beginning of the season, how well we were playing defensively. But now the narrative has changed and be like, dude, this may be one of Izzo's most least talented teams. Like, just for the narrative to change like that, you know something's wrong. And first, I'm just going to point out one player that I don't know what the hell has gotten into him, like Rocket Watts. I think he only made like one or two field goals this game and then missed those two easy layups at the end of the game, which, to be honest, I wouldn't expect that out of Rocket Watts after coming out of high school, who was just a dominant offensive player and now just doesn't even have anything that he can bring to the table right now on this team. Obviously, Aaron Henry's a player who could potentially go to the draft, and I'm not going to fully blame his draft stock going down just because of him. I feel like the team in general is bringing down Henry's draft stock because, like you said on the phone call earlier, Henry likes to play fast, and we don't really have players that can play well when we play fast. So I really wouldn't blame Henry's draft stock going down fully on him, but just with the team all around.
And I told Nick on the phone jokingly, and people are going to get on that, I said Henry should have opted out after he scored 27 against Wisconsin on Christmas. But, and yeah, like, to everyone's point about Henry not being ready, like, I think he's way better than people realize. The problem is we just don't have any depth. And This is the problem I keep telling everyone is, while people kept bringing up, like, losing Winston and Tillman weren't that big of a deal. Because, I mean, they were to people, but some would say, well, you still didn't lose anyone else. Like, you still have all the bench. And while that's a fair point, you everyone can see now, this team has no leadership. Like, Cassius and Tillman were like LeBron James type of leaders out there. I mean, I literally, and this sounds sad, I think our biggest leader out on the floor is Foster Lawyer right now. I can't name someone that's a better, like, leader, like a voice. And that's what's lacking. And another thing that it blows my mind is how nobody's taken the next step this year. Like, it seems like I'm not trying to criticize them all. They had a 3-week off because of COVID, and I understand all that. But even before that, you know, Gabe Brown, like, he's not playing right now, but he's been a no-show the whole year outside of one or two games. Obviously, Kithier and Bingham, I don't need to get into that. You guys already know. Everyone knows.
Center play has just been awful all around. Like,
oh, my God. And what even makes me more mad is, I'll say this last point now while you talk, is everyone keeps asking, as I'm sure you keep getting asked, oh, what about Imani Bates? And, well, yeah, that's great and all, guys. We'd love to have the number one player reclassify. That doesn't solve the problem with the center position. And you see all the successful Big Ten teams this year, Michigan, Ohio State, they all went and got a good grad transfer. Seth Towns, who just ate us up out there. Michigan went and got Mike Smith, that point guard, and they got Chaudy Brown. I think he's power forward. But nonetheless, that's why I was beating the drum so bad this offseason, last offseason. We have to go get a grad transfer. We can't just go throw Rocket out there in point guard and Bingham and expect to win. And you see it. These guys are not good enough to play, I mean, 25 minutes a night. I mean, I just can't believe what's going on, man.
One thing that I saw was when we have Kithier out on the floor, teams are shooting 68% at the rim. And then when he's not on the court, teams are shooting 52% on the rim. But yet, Izzo still doesn't see the issue and still continues to play Kithier instead of Bingham. And one thing that makes me mad is, obviously, Bingham struggles offensively, but he's a dude that always brings out energy and always looks like he wants to play. And today I was watching the game. Nobody on the court looked like they wanted to play that game, man. I'm gonna be honest. The facial expressions they had, it looked like nobody wanted to play. The energy is just completely lost, and I just don't see any energy with this team this year. And one thing that pissed me off today was Rocket Watts openly admitted, like earlier this season, that he didn't feel comfortable playing the point guard position. And what does Tom Izzo do? He starts Rocket Watts like at the point guard position. That if you have a player that's not comfortable, then there's definitely going to be an issue if you start him at that position to start the game.
Yeah, and I was talking to one, obviously our old friend, nobody, I'm not going to say the name, but someone that me and Nick know well, and he brought up a great point to me that would piss a lot of people off, and he said, this is going to be the end of Tom Izzo, exactly like D'Antonio, if he does not force guys out that will not play next year. And what I mean by that is, you know right now what players, if you want to get Amani Bates and Enoch Bawachi to possibly reclassify and join Max Christie, obviously Akins and Brooks, you're going to have two guys leave, and probably Henry's probably going to declare. Like, I don't care how good he's playing, he's gone. So then you're going to need two other guys to transfer. And if Izzo's just like, you know, I don't want to force guys out, seniors, then we're not going to win shit next year, guys. It's going to be the same storyline. So that's my biggest takeaway is, does Izzo want to buckle up and do like what Mel Tucker did this year? And I know it's Tucker's first year, but he said, hey, I'm not going to openly tell players, you know, transfer, but he's going to sit them down and say, look, if you stay here, you're not going to play. If you go elsewhere, you're going to play more. And that's what Izzo needs to do with Thomas Kithier and Marcus Bingham. I'm not as big into saying Foster can lead because, to be honest, I don't think that's our biggest worry. It's definitely the center position. And Foster would have no problem saying, my senior year, I don't mind, you know, riding the bench a little bit more than if they were to get – I don't know. I don't know who's going to even start a point guard next year. Like, I don't think Akins is going to come in and start right away. But then you got to – like you just said, Rocket obviously is not – he doesn't even want to go out there and start a point guard. So, to me, that's my biggest takeaway is Izzo going to buckle up and do what's necessary moving forward after the season? Or is he going to say, hey, I'm going to do like D'Antonio and just be loyal? Because if he decides on that, it could be the downfall of this program. I'm telling you right now.
Yep. And if he does go the route where we tell people to basically transfer, then obviously people are wanting Imani Bates to reclassify. And as much as I want Imani Bates to reclassify, the player I want to reclassify the most is Enoch. And I think Enoch is going to make a huge impact right away. I think he could possibly start right away because Enoch is a center who's a big body down low. He's big. And Enoch can run the floor really well for the size he is. And that's something that I like about Enoch's game is Enoch can basically do it all with his feet, and he has great ball handling. I was watching a couple clips earlier. And I think Max Christie's a player is going to have a huge impact right away because, man, guys, if you've seen it today, I don't even know if we made 3 3-pointers this game. We might have, but we cannot hit the right side of the barn if we tried. And to be honest, the only reason why we had 62 points is of how many free throws we were shooting, and we still didn't shoot free throws that well either.
Yeah, and to the point with Christie, like, for anyone that hasn't watched, like, a really good player comparison would be, like, a Tyler Hero. But to Nick's point about, you know, not hitting three-pointers, a lot of that, the problem with that is we don't have a true point guard right now that can, you know, like, generate and run the offense efficiently. Where, you know, you're seeing a lot of ball screens and guys getting open up, where you see Langford always does that, kind of that pullback. We don't have any guys that can go out there and, like, set a great screen how we had like Tillman and guys in the past like that. But, and to your point about Bawachi, yeah, of course. Like, I'm not good with the best with player comparisons, but he basically is like Bingham. He's basically plays how they want Bingham to play, if that makes any sense. Like, he does everything well that they thought Bingham would. And I think he's a much better, obviously, shooter and all that. And obviously, he's bigger already at the age. But I've been told, and I fully believe this, Nick, I don't think Bawachi will come without Bates. I think they're going to be a package deal. You're getting either two or you're getting none of them next year.
Yep, and obviously we still have Akins coming in too, but he could be a player that starts right away, but if he doesn't start right away, that's fine. I think he'll progress into be a great point guard, to be honest, because, man, he has so much athleticism that obviously I haven't seen from an MSU point guard in quite some time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Cassius is probably going to be have a better career than him, but Cassius is a guy that could create his own shot, and we don't have a player on the team that can create his own shot right now besides, like, basically nobody. Rocket Wallace used to be able to create his own shot, but his offense just disappeared, dude. He was averaging, like, what, 18 points per game at the end of the season last year, mm-hmm. like the final stretch of the season. Now he's averaging, like, not even 10 points a game. Like,
no.
I can't believe how a player's offense can just disappear like that. And today we had so many open shots. Like, you're not going to win games if you can't convert on your open shots. And that's been the story all year. We can't make open shots to save our life.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we fall late in the shot clock, we always take the dumbest shots. That's when we turn the ball over mostly, is when the shot clock is so low. Like, you guys got to score. We got to score faster. We can't let the shot clock drain down, or that's when we take the dumb shots and turn the ball over.
Yeah. And another player that I think is struggling, but he's scoring, but it's not efficiently, that would have totally benefited playing with Cassius, and I fully believe this, is Joey Hauser. You know, he's really good at, obviously, you see, like, pick and roll, but he can also pick and pop, which means he sets a screen, pulls out for the three-pointer. And while Foster and him are decent at the pick and roll or Rocket, it just doesn't – it always seems like it's not a good match there, if you guys are following me. And, yeah, I don't think there's no way Rocket can be averaging 10 points right now. It's got to be, like, 7 if he's lucky.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's low. It shouldn't be this low. Like, I know a lot of people were, like, saying Rocket Wallace could be that guy averaging 18 points per game around there this year. And, wow, were we wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing with Rocket is, I told Nick earlier, is and I'm not predicting this guy, so don't go out there and write it on the message boards and all that, but I wouldn't be shocked if he was a guy that said, hey, I'm going to transfer after the year. You know, this system is just not working out for me. It happens. You guys saw that with David DeJulius at Michigan last year. Colin Castleton did the same. And look at Colin Castleton. He went to Florida. He's averaging, shit, probably almost 20 points a game. So I could see Rocket being, and I'm not predicting that, but I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if he went to, I don't know, like an SEC school or something like that and said, this team fits my system better. Because I don't know what it is. It's not all on Rocket. Maybe some of it's coaching, maybe some of it's play style, but it's just not working out right now. And, you know, it sucks, honestly, because, you know, like you said earlier with Spire, when he came out from Spire, I mean, shit, dude, after that 165-point game, you know, Michigan State fans thought they were getting the next Trae Young on offense, just lighting it up every night, but it hasn't happened. And it just sucks to see that this is what it's turned into. And the Spartans, literally, I mean, right now they're not – if the season ended right now, they would be nowhere to be found in any NCAA tournament bracket. I posted on my story that Lunardi had us at first 4 out, then it was next 4 out, then it was like second to next 4 out. And part of that is, guys, we don't have one quadrant one win. We have, I think we're the 96th ranked in net, which, to put things in perspective, Michigan's third. So that's how far off we are from, I don't mean to compare us to them, but just to give you an example of how far down we are in there. So I don't know, man. I don't know where this team goes. I said it earlier, if we lost this game, I think we would have to win the Big Ten tournament. And obviously, I'm still going to stand by that because the schedule's brutal. And I'm honestly not even mad at this point. I'm just stunned that this is what it's turned into.
Yeah, I was expecting a tough season, but I was expecting being placed 13th in the Big Ten type of season. I maybe was expecting like 5th or 4th and having, like, I don't know, 6 losses in conference, but
mm-hmm.
now we could be looking at possibly 10 losses in conference at this point, because we still have to play Iowa, Michigan, Illinois, And then we also have to play Indiana, who's a team we can never beat for some reason. And then we still have to play Purdue at Mackey, which we can never win there. So I don't know, man. That's 11 losses we could possibly have. Obviously, I think we'll beat Nebraska, but
yeah,
I don't know, man. The season's definitely, when we started 6-0 and all that, I was like, all right, we didn't look too hot against these non-conference teams, but I trust the team. I trust that we'll have things turned around for conference play, and that's not the case right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to your point about, you know, facing Iowa, I'm pretty sure we have to face Iowa and Ohio State twice. And then who knows with Michigan if that game's going to get made up. So, and that's the problem, is a lot of people are like, oh, like, you know, don't even play them and all that shit. But, like, we need quality wins, dude. We don't have one good road win outside of Duke. That's it.
And that's not even a good win at this point, because Duke doesn't look too good anymore. Like, are they even in the top 25, bro?
Oh, hell no. I think they're, like, 6-5. But my point is, like, you're not making the March – you're not making March Madness – or I keep saying March, but you're not making the NCAA tournament without quality road wins. Like, you can have a bad loss at home or whatever, but if you don't win games on the road, you're not going to make it. Like, that's how it's been for a few years. Joe Lunardi's made – and not just Joe Lunardi, but all the bracketology people, they say it, and they pound their chest every year. You have to win on the road. And if you don't, we haven't won shit on the road. I mean, we don't have one conference win on the road, and we have one non-conference on the road, so – I think the season's
I think we beat Nebraska on the road, about it. And that's not even a great win. They're 0-5 in conference.
I mean, there's a reason why I forgot about that one. But I mean, to be honest, to put things into simple terms, this team is not going to an NCAA tournament unless they win the Big Ten tournament. Period. I don't care what anyone says.
Yep, I agree. And right now I think we're placed as like a 4 seed in the NIT tournament. Ugh.
To be honest,
I'd just rather have the season be over with than make the NIT. I wouldn't even watch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if I was Izzo, and I'm not sure to be an ass, guys, but I would decline the bid. Kind of like LSU did that one year when they had Ben Simmons, and he was just like, you know, I'm done. That's, I mean, it sounds shitty, but, and I know people might say, oh, you get to play, you know, basketball, but I guarantee you, Henry is not going to wait around and go to the stupid NIT. Like, we have bigger priorities than the NIT. You know, it would be nice to get more back. And I can't believe we're talking about the NIT. But,
yep.
I mean, like, sorry, guys. It's what it's turned into. Like, this team is 13th place in the Big Ten. 13th. Like, I don't even know, dude. Because I keep talking, I'm going to start saying shit that's going to piss everyone off. But at this point, there's just not much more to say about it all.
At this point, I've gotten to the feeling that I would get before any football game, like, oh, if we win, that's great. If we lose, I really don't care. That's the point I've gotten to with basketball this year, is like, oh, if we win, that's awesome. But if we lose, I kind of expect it. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting you say that, because I've also told people that. And it's not a sore loser mentality, guys, but I think a lot of that's due to not having fans. And, you know what I mean, just not the enthusiasm as you'd have in years past. I think that's also mm-hmm. hurt. You know, I don't think Michigan State loses that game against Purdue at home with fans. I really don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, but, I mean, that one game wouldn't have
– I don't even think we'd lose the game on Christmas if we had fans.
Yeah, possibly, but I don't know if – or, yeah, no, that game was scheduled for Christmas before the season. I was thinking because of COVID. But, yeah, it's just interesting. You know, Izzo's got a ton of work ahead of him, and it's probably going to keep getting worse before it gets better in a few months, with hopefully good news of, you know, maybe a few reclassifications for some people. Maybe it might be a few transfers. Like, I don't know. But it's going to get worse before it gets better in a few months. At least it's not a long-term rebuild like football, though.
Yeah. Obviously, I think we'll probably be back in the top 15 next year, or in 2 years at least.
Yeah, no, we'll be fine next year because Izzo's – hey, if he makes these adjustments like I said earlier in the podcast, if he doesn't and he says, I'm going to let my loyalty ride it out, we're going to be sitting back here next year. We might be a little bit better, but we're not going to be like Ohio State or Michigan good at all. No way.